And so here at Williamson County Cowboy Church, we want you to understand how finances are taught in the Bible. And it's very important that you understand that the church is not trying to get your money. We're trying to get money to you. God wants to get the money to you, but you have to learn how to be obedient with your finances in order for God to get it back to you. You see, so it's really neat. The tithe message that I have for y'all today is in Isaiah. And I actually heard it. I was listening to satellite radio on my truck one day, and I'd been flipping channels, and I came across it. Joel Osteen has that channel on the radio, and Tyler Perry was talking. And I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I've seen some of his shows before I heard this interview. You know, Madea's funny. I don't care who you are, that's funny. I'm not telling you to go watch it, but he's funny. But I listened to this interview and I found out this is a spirit, Holy Ghost filled man, y'all. Tyler Perry is, woo, Jesus, this guy, when he talks, you better listen. And I listened to this message and he was talking about that as he started, when he became an actor and then he became a writer, and he grew in his work, and he was a solid Christian, man, spirit filled. Well, the first year that he made all this money, he gave it all away. He gave it all away that he didn't even know how he was going to pay the taxes at the end of the year on all of it that he made. But he went on to say that the reason, not just he's a giver, believe me, he's a strong giver, but the reason that he gave it all away, it's because he felt he had been taught all his life he wasn't worthy to have all that. Did y'all hear me? He'd been taught, and some of us have probably been taught the same. Oh, you're not supposed to have money. You know, baloney. How can we help other people? How can we be a blessing to other people if our finances are not being built up? He said that he didn't feel worthy to have that, so he gave it all away. And he said, you know, he was driving around and he noticed all these drug dealers and all these bad people had gold chains, brand new cars. And he said, I talked to God one day and I told him, he said, if I'm not supposed, why are they having things and I'm not? There's something not, it's backwards. You see, if those kind of people can have good things, he realized he's supposed to have things too. He is worthy. When Jesus Christ died for us, it made us worthy. You see, so we are worthy to have finances, but it's what you do and how you get those finances. So Isaiah 48:17, it says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Right here, God's telling us he's the one that's going to teach us about how to handle our finances. You see, if we stay in God's economy and we do it according to the word of God, he will profit us. You see, we will have profit. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get it back to us. But we have to learn how to be able to give in order for him to get it back to us. Amen? All right. So with a big round of applause, I want you to bring your tithes and offerings up here to the buckets. Ready? Man, we got a bunch of little, we got the girls back working. Glad to have them. Got some new ones being trained up on the other side over here. That's always good. It's always good. Oh, we got one more. All right. Hey, y'all stretch out your hands to the offering. Father God, we thank you for the people that gave today and the people that have been giving, Father. We cause this to be given back to them, Father God, 100-fold. We just thank you for blessing this, and everything that they put their hands to, she'll prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all go ahead and start passing out the communion. Yeah, you can give the Lord a round of applause, you bet. Okay, so I probably should say that now, shouldn't I? I don't think that was a secret since they heard you say that in the microphone. So, the nursery is going with the 2 to 4-year-olds today, okay? Thank you, Bob. So we're doing communion today. We'll give them time to get it passed out. We have a nursery under repair, so I dropped one. I'm going to save that for later. I may get hungry. I'm going to leave that right there. Because, well, you know, we may go till 2 today, so I may be... No, I'm kidding. Some of y'all going, oh, gosh, I'm out now. Y'all just sit down. Oh, by the way, where's AJ at? Where's AJ at? He's back there. I don't know. I'll have to have it in writing, but something about a new offering you're wanting to do, but we'll have to run that by Pastor Corey first. Never mind then? Okay. He didn't think I'd say anything about it, but I had to. Everybody got one yet? You know, here, we do communion once a month. And I started yesterday, I know what communion is, and most of us know what communion is. But I dug deeper into communion yesterday just because I'd really never really dug. And so I did yesterday. And, you know, when we do communion, it's for the remembrance of Jesus. But where I dug, it said something that really got to me. It said, not only is it the remembrance, but it's the celebration of Jesus. Y'all think about that. You see, not only are we remembering the selfless act that he made, but y'all, what he did for us, man, we should celebrate Jesus, the giving of what he did for us. Man, it really touched me when I read that. And it was talking about that, you know, some people just take communion just to take communion. That's not what we're supposed to do, y'all. It's not a mindless ritual. It's not something, oh, well, it's first Sunday, we're going to do communion. Let's do it. Okay, when we say eat, drink, well, we just, it's done. We have to learn to really think, what does this really mean? What does this represent? You see, Jesus called himself the bread of life. He himself said that. He's the bread of life. That he nourishes us. And that nourish doesn't mean just that he supplies all of our needs, physically, our food, but spiritually, he fills us up when nothing else does. So when we learn that that's what this represents, and once a month when we take communion, that not only are we in remembrance of what Jesus did, but we're celebrating what both represents. In 1 Corinthians, it says in verse 24, chapter 11, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So everyone eat. Verse 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Everyone drink. And I want y'all to hear verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's what I was talking about right there. Let's learn that every time that we take communion, that we don't take it lightly. That with our kids being in here and we're training our kids up to understand what communion means. You see, it means what Jesus Christ did for y'all and for me. Amen? Amen. Amen. They're going to pass around the buckets and pick up the cups. And right now, we're going to dismiss the kids. Are we dismissing the youth too? Okay, youth and kids. Big round of applause. You can walk to the back door. Excuse me, my cracker's still hanging in there a little bit. Well, the title of my message today is called, What Did You Say? And that's with the question mark. For those of you who are taking notes. You know, our God that we serve is a faith God. Everybody agree? Our God is a faith God. He is. And God released his faith in spoken words. So from the very beginning, he releases his faith in Genesis, the first chapter. Number three, he says, so all throughout this morning, it's really important that I want you to see this growing theme of he says, okay? He said, let there be light. And then there was light. You see, before God did anything in the Bible, he said it first. You look at verse 26, he said. See, that's a quote. I'm quoting. He said, let us create man in the image of us. He's talking about him, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us. He said. You see, when we were up at Casper with Corey, we were around all those kids a lot. And when you start listening to people say things, it tells you a lot about people. One day we were at the softball field, and this little girl, she wasn't little, she's tall as I was, but when I say little, I mean young in age. Everybody's getting to be younger than I am nowadays, which is okay, it's a good thing. But she walked by me, and she goes, I'm stupid, just ignore me, I'm stupid. And I'm like, what? Why are you... And then you hear those kids that are competing. And they say, man, that calf that I've got tonight, nobody's caught him all week. Boy, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or my horse doesn't feel right. I don't feel right. And it really struck a nerve with me about listening to what people are saying. You see, if our God is the God of faith, and he is, and he spoke everything into existence. In Ephesians, it says that we are to be imitators of God. Now, imitators of God doesn't mean that we just act like God, that we walk like God, we talk like God. Okay? So that means that we learn to have that faith that our God has. The word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? So that hearing by the word of God, that's us getting into the word. That's us learning to read the word out loud. You see, when we start talking about faith, and this is just the introduction, y'all, so hang on. I'll get y'all there in a minute. When we start talking about faith, the Bible tells us he gave us all the same measure of faith. Right? When you look at that, and I did this in my earlier years, and I call that earlier years of when I was a younger Christian. But when I looked at people and I would see, well, okay, God gave us the same measure of faith. Well, this person is doing big and bad things. When I say bad, that's in a good way. Doing big things, good things. I mean, things are happening. They're prospering, man. Their job flourishes. Their kids are doing wonderful. What's going on? Why am, if I got the same amount, you start listening to what you're saying. What's coming out of your mouth? You see, because if we're given the same measure of faith and you're not moving as quick as somebody else is, start listening to what you're saying. What's coming out of my mouth? Y'all flip to, I want you to see this, Proverbs 6. I want to establish this before we get into the meat of the message. Proverbs 6, everybody say amen when you get there. Amen. Say oh my if you're not there yet. Oh my, okay. Proverbs 6, we're going to start at verse 2. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. What that's telling us is that what comes out right here, as I put it in, as Corey says, cowboy vernacular, it makes you or breaks you. You see? This, our words either hold us back and take us captive, or our words can release us, and we're speaking that faith thing, and it lets us move forward. It's funny this morning that this is what this message is about, because I had several people already this morning coming in going, man, I'm beat down. I'm beat down. Man, I don't know what's going on. One of them's smiling at me right now, but we gave him a hard time. We told him, well, we'll beat you down if you want to beat down, if that's what you're professing. You see, our mouth holds us back. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, and you can look it up if you want to, but I'm not going to turn there. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and you shall eat the fruits thereof. Now, if you don't get that last part, what that means is that if you're speaking death and bad things, that's what you're going to get. If you're speaking good, powerful, positive things, that's what you get. I have a little story to tell y'all before we move on. My great-granddad, and some of you I've shared this story with, my great-granddad passed away when he was 102. And that's amazing in itself, because he ate fried eggs and bacon every day. That stuff will kill you. That's what they say. He lived to be 102. He even dipped snuff and chewed tobacco until he was 92. And this is for all you people that say you can't, this is just a side. This is a bonus message right here. For all those people that say, man, I've tried to quit smoking, I've tried to quit drinking, I've tried to whatever, but I can't do it. Bull. This man was 92 years old, and he dipped snuff, and he dipped snuff on one side, and it's not the kind that they have now. And he chewed day's work on the other side, which is the old plug tobacco, and it'll make you throw up, and I can testify to that. He gave me it when I was 13. He started when he was like 6 years old. Y'all do the math. That's 86 years he dipped and chewed. And he quit in one day. I said, Grandpa, how you do that? He goes, you want to do something bad enough? You can. That's what he said. And he's right. So anyway, Grandpa, the death and life are in your tongue. This is the story. My mom and dad, it was my dad's granddad, my great-granddad. And so when mom and dad got married, Grandpa always told my mom that he was going to live to be 100 years old and he was going to go to sleep and not get up. And then when I was born and got to be around him, and all my other granddads had passed away, so Grandpa was my granddad. He's the one that played the fiddle, one I inherited it from. Cool guy. Loved him. He was born in 1884, y'all. So you just stop and think. He died when I was 25 years old in 1986. As Grandpa got older, things happened. Broke a leg when he was 95. They did surgery, just fine. Fell and broke a hip. Did surgery at 98, but they put him in a wheelchair because they was afraid he'd fall again. At 102, on a Sunday afternoon, they called us and said, Grandpa said, they're trying to make him eat. Grandpa said, he ain't getting up tomorrow. You want to say goodbye, come by and tell him bye. He ain't getting up. Everybody, people that could went by and saw him. He knew everybody. He was sane. Y'all, he wasn't crazy. He knew everybody. Guess what? On Monday morning, he didn't get up here. He got up in heaven. So does that tell you what Proverbs 18:21 says right there? Death and life are in the power of your tongue. All right, y'all flip to James. Man, y'all got quiet on me. Don't wake up. This is good stuff. I read a deal on Facebook. I just read stuff on Facebook. I very rarely post stuff. And it said, don't blame the pastor. I just brought the message. I read that to Laurie yesterday. And she goes, you might want to use that sometime. As quiet as it's gotten, I think it could be today. James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 2. For in many things that we offend all, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So here, God's talking about our tongue. You see, that if we can bridle that, just like that you use a bit to bridle a horse, to control the horse, we've got to learn to bridle our tongue, you see. We have to learn that in order to bridle our tongue, it comes right here in the Bible. Y'all, this is your bridle. This is your bit. This is your bit. When we're in the Word, it's in our heart. You see, so when something comes up, instead of saying, I'm so beat down this morning, you say, I'm renewed like the eagle. My God is the restorer, that He restores me. He gives me strength. He gives me energy in Jesus' name. But if we're not staying in the Word, what comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our mouth? Not just what we say from us, but what comes of our mouth when we talk to someone. I was reading a news article the other day, and it was talking about nowadays, people don't listen. Now, when I say the article went on to say, people don't, the reason that they listen is to have a reply. You see, get so caught up in, oh, so-and-so saying that, so I got to be ready and get mine in. No. Why don't you listen? Just start listening to people. Man, it'll help your responses. It'll help your responses give the right response, you know? So that when somebody comes and says, does this outfit look nice? And you go, no, that looks really stupid. You see, you have to learn. You don't necessarily want that. You want to learn to put that bit in your mouth, okay? Yeah. Guys, that's a tip for you. Just trying to help y'all out a little bit, okay? You know, if she asks you if this makes her look heavy, you say, no, dear. You look lovely, okay? Use that bit. Remember back to this day, because it'll happen. It's not if, it's when. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever at the governor listeth. It's so amazing when you stop and think about that as a comparison to our tongue. Because probably a lot of you have not stopped and thought about that small rudder that guides that huge, huge vessel. And a slight move makes that vessel move, you see. Right way or wrong way. So what comes out of our mouth, our tongue, guides where we go, you see. It, as I said, we affect other people with what we say. And I'll tell you a story that is a perfect example, and it was probably a little mean on my part and the rest of the boss's parts, but years ago I worked for a food company, and we had a boss that was a hypochondriac. I'm not real proud of this. It is funny, however. You can laugh at the appropriate spots. On Fridays, I was a boss. I was considered a supervisor. I was about 24 years old. And then we had a meat manager. We had, you know, there was like five or six different supervisors. And so we each had a meeting on Friday morning with the boss, because he'd go over everything for the week. Well, so every two or three weeks, we'd all get together, the supervisors, and we'd go, okay, who's going to start? And what we'd do is whoever was first, we'd go in there and sit down, and we'd go, hey, Larry, you feeling all right today? He'd go, well, you just kind of got a little pale, and I don't know, I don't know. So then whoever started it would leave, and the next supervisor, well, after about an hour and a half of this, he'd go home sick. Of course, we did. Now, wait a minute. To our defense, we did good things. Being a food company, we'd go to the sample freezer, and we'd get samples of food out, and we'd cook for all the employees. It was called morale building. We had about 50 to 75 employees, and we'd cook for all of them. We played ping pong, and so. But do you see that not only when we say it to us, when you say it to somebody else, it has that kind of effect. That's how strong your words are. That's how strong my words are. Think about it when you talk to your kids, and some of you that still have young kids at home. What you say to those kids develops them. When I taught math, the first year I taught was seventh grade. And parents would come in and go, oh, my kid ain't going, it was out in the country, you know, just a bunch of nice folks. Man, my kid ain't going to be no good at math, because I wasn't. What? I tell you what, folks, I heard more, and they said it in front of their kids. And I would fuss at it. I said, no, don't do that to them. Just because you weren't any good at it doesn't mean they're not going to be any good at it. Tell your kids they can do anything. They can do anything with God. Encourage them in the right way. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You see, the little tongue can boasteth great things. But what happens is, we've seen it time and time and time again, is when somebody starts boasting about something, guess what? Usually ain't much good, are they? I've seen musicians brag about how good they were and who all they played with, and when they hit that first note, it's like, oh my. That wasn't the truth in the first place. Not only did they boasteth, but they stretcheth the trutheth. You see, what that comes to, two things is, what are you putting in your heart? Because what's in your heart comes out of your mouth, you see. And if you've done nothing but brag, 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 and you ain't put nothing in there, you ain't got much to stand on, do you? That's why we have the Word of God, y'all. That's why we get in the Word. I'm going to skip to verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Stop and think about that. You know, I had never thought really and truly about that verse. But when you stop and think about it, the same mouth that we bless God with, we curse our fellow man. That's not right. Stop and think about it. What are you saying? I don't care how bad you dislike somebody. Why are you talking to them that way? Build them up, y'all. Build them up. It's like, if you read on, it talks about a fountain that producing, you take a drink of fresh water, but salt water comes out of the same fountain. That's not what you expect, is it? No. When you get a drink of fresh water, that's what you expect. We have to learn how to control our mouths, you see. We have to learn how to control our mouths. You know, Jesus operated the same way God did. If you stop and think about it. God spoke everything. He said everything. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus said the same thing. He said, you remember when the disciples were on the boat, the storm was coming, and he was asleep, and they went and woke him up. And he came out, and the first thing he said was, oh, ye of little faith, right? And then what did he do? He spoke to the storm. He spoke. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He spoke. He healed people. He spoke it. Y'all turn to Mark 11. Please. You mean to sound bossy? There's a couple of scriptures I want to look at, because as I was preparing for this yesterday, and the Holy Spirit showed me a couple of things that I'd never really thought of, and this is one of them. Verse 23, Mark 11, 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. That's the point, y'all. When we speak, we have to have that faith. Shall believe in your heart that those things which he saith, and remember the theme of today is, he said, we say, saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You see, that's what I was talking about earlier, about when you look at someone and go, what's going on? Because, man, You know, not that you're jealous of someone, but you're going, why? I'm not moving as fast as I want to in my faith. And what's happening? You know, look at what somebody else is doing that's moving and shaking. Listen to what's coming out of their mouth. What are they professing? Because as you profess something over and over and over and over, you start believing it. I heard a news article the other day, and it was talking about a doctor that did a study. And he had like 10 patients. He separated them, 10 and 10. And they treated 10 of them with traditional way that they would treat them. The other, they gave them, what do they call that? A who? Okay, a placebo. Not quite the word I was looking for, but we'll go with that one. Gave them a placebo. They gave them fake medicine. But they also had them start saying, I feel great. I'm healed. I feel great. They had them say it 3 times an hour. And within 2 months, I think it was 2 months, guess who was better? The ones that had the fake medicine that was saying, I feel better. I'm healed. They said it all day long, every day. The people that were treated with traditional medicine weren't doing much better. Does that tell y'all anything about some of the medicine they used to? I don't know. God's got good medicine. Instead, you can say, 1 Peter 2:24, I'm healed by his stripes in Jesus' name. You see, so Jesus is doing just what God did. He saith, he said, because to those who believe in their heart. One more verse. John 14. When we talk about our faith, and I was reading some stuff about faith yesterday when the Holy Spirit showed me this. And he showed it to me in a light that really was like, oh my. John 14, verse 12. And here again, Jesus is speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, the ones that Jesus did, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. The Holy Spirit showed me that in this verse, Jesus is saying he has faith in you. Oh my gosh. I never thought. Jesus is showing he has faith in you and you and you and you and you and you. Everybody here. What's happened to our faith? I know that we get beat down. I know that we have finances that aren't where we want to be, or our health is not where it should be. Our relationship has gone south. But right here, y'all, Jesus, it was like, oh my gosh. Jesus is telling me he has faith in Ricky to do the things he did, but greater. Put your name in there. Put your name in that spot where he says, you will do things and greater. That makes it real right there, y'all. That makes it real. When you start thinking that Jesus Christ not only died for us, he died for our sins that would have life eternal, but he has faith in each and every one of you. Why don't you have faith? Why is your faith failing? What's wrong? What are you professing? What are you professing? So here's 4 things. That I've got that can help us get that faith in what we're saying. Number one, and we've heard Corey talk about this before, control. We have to get control. Okay? You ever seen anybody that gets so worked up, they're just running around in circles and just, you know, when something goes wrong, it just goes. You got to get control. Got to get control. How do we get control? Number two, I put get some weapons. That doesn't mean guns, y'all. Okay? Doesn't mean hand grenades. I mean, I know some of you guys are like, dadgum, I was wanting weapons. Weapons. These are godly weapons. Start looking up scripture. You see that everything, if it's your finances, everything I put my hand to shall prosper in the name of Jesus. You see? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. If it's your health, 1 Peter 2:24, I'm healed by his stripes in Jesus' name. I'm more than a conqueror. Now, when you say I'm more than a conqueror, doesn't that sound better than I'm beat down? Or in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's better than I just can't get up anymore. They're tearing me up at work. No. Get you some weapons and then practice. Practice. The more you practice, and I call it practice, because you start, when you practice, it starts getting here, right? But then the more you do it here, it gets here. It gets here, you see. So that when you start speaking those things, when something comes against you, you know, nuh-uh, devil, I'm more than a conqueror. Man, at the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. So get out of here. So build your weapons, you see? Build your weapons. And if you need, I mean, if you in the weapon, you guys, call this your quiver. Some of y'all don't even know what a quiver is, do you? It's not this. It's what you put your arrows in. You can, this is where you put your, these are your weapons, y'all. Don't be afraid to use them. Number three, this is always a fun one. Get somebody to hold you accountable. Now, for you men, your wives, or if you're not married, your girlfriend, or get a friend. My wife reminds me, when I'm up here preaching, it's like we all say, all the pastors say when we're up here preaching, we're preaching to ourselves too. I still let one go every once in a while. I still say something that was, you know, just out of just joking or whatever. But when you joke that way long enough, so my wife's always like, what'd you say? I said, I'm good. Let's go. Now, she doesn't miss very often. Every once in a while, I get her. Not near as much as she gets me. You see, but get that friend, because I'm telling you what, it's that point I'm talking about that you don't listen to what you say. I guarantee you, if we start listening what comes out of our mouth, you'll change the way that you talk. True? Trust me. Number four, and this is a big one right here. Quit speaking the circumstances and start speaking the result that you want. You hear me? Well, these young people nowadays, boy, I just can't find a husband. Everyone I go out with is a loser. I guess that's what I'm supposed to have. Well, probably are if that's what you're going to say. You see? Why don't you start speaking, I'm going to meet the right person, the right godly person. You start speaking over that person that you're looking for. And if you've had those kind of experiences, rebuke it. It says every demon must flee in the name of Jesus. So start talking to those and say, get out of here in Jesus' name. Or you open up your billfold and there's not enough money today. Or you go to the store and you want to buy something. You just want to buy something. Everybody, anybody in here ever just want to buy something? Oh, two people. Now, come on. You're in church, y'all. Goodness. You go to Academy. Oh, yeah. On the gun aisle. See, now the guys are going, uh-huh, I've been there. And you go, man, I really would like to have one of those, but I'll never be able to afford it. You won't be saying that. Now, and you can relate, I've said it before. But quit it. Quit saying that. God did not put us on this earth to be beat down, broke, and having, I won't say that, that wasn't nice. Well, illnesses. You know, he doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want us defeated. He doesn't want us deflated. Why do we walk around that way? Why do we allow ourselves to do that? What are you speaking, y'all? Why don't we start speaking, my God is bigger than that problem. Woo, Jesus. Your boss says, well, I don't know. We're going to have to cut back your hours. That's okay, man. My God's bigger than that. You see, my God's bigger than you having to cut my hours back. Because my God is my provider. I don't worry about man providing for me. My God is bigger than that problem. If you don't get anything else out of this today, get that. My God, everybody say it with me. My God is bigger than anything. My God is bigger than any. I didn't say that. You weren't listening. See, I talk any problem that I may have in Jesus' name. All right. That's what I want you to get, y'all. You got to tap into that. And if things are going good, don't start panicking about them going bad. Keep professing what you're professing. You hear me? Dig in it and go. You see, if we learn to speak the right things, we just read it, we'll have what's in our heart. We'll have our heart's desires if we believe it. We have to learn to profess the right things. Just like in order for us to have eternal life, we have to profess that Jesus Christ is our Savior. If you haven't ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, we would never do a service without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I tell you this, I told it back in February, I think, when I preached, that when I was younger, we got ready to have our first baby baptized in the church. And I'm going to tell you what church, what denomination. It was a denominational church. And I played in that church in the orchestra, started in junior high or high school and played all the way through high school. And then when I got married, I still played there. And then we had our first baby. We were going to get baptized. We go to the pastor and he asked me, are you saved? I don't know. I believe in Jesus. I'm a good person. I hadn't killed anybody or, you know. He said, no, but have you confessed it with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Savior? And I said, no, didn't know I had to. But here's the thing, y'all. This was the same preacher that's preached at this church for 8 years that I've been going there, and he never once gave a salvation plan. I didn't know. I felt dumb. don't feel dumb. Because where you grew up or where you've been, you may not know. You weren't taught. The reason I tell you this is that day that I did it and told this story, I had a lady come up after the service and go, thank you. Because I've always felt I didn't understand. And I thought I was the only one that that had happened to. So at 25 years old, I was saved the same day my first baby was baptized. But you see, the churches you go to don't do that. You just have to confess it with your mouth. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then today's your day. We're giving you this opportunity. We want you to be saved. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. And there is a place, heaven and hell. And on that day when you stand before God, he's going to say one of two things. Enter, O good and faithful servant, or he's going to tell you to depart from me. Oh, man, please, please confess Jesus Christ as your Savior today. We're going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to have the believers say it with us. And we're going to say it out loud. We say it here at Cowboy Church so that even the believers that are already saved can lead someone to Christ. Man, we don't want anybody dying and going to hell. We want you going to heaven. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I want our believers to say it with us, because you could be sitting by somebody, they'd be behind you. So right now, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and save me. I believe that you died on the cross for me, and you rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Thank you, Lord. Today is my God day, in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still, if you just confess that Jesus Christ is your Savior for the first time, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and acknowledge to me, because Jesus said, do not be afraid to acknowledge me before your man, and I won't be afraid to acknowledge you before my Father. We want to give a Bible to you, and then you can put your hand right back down. But on the count of three, be bold. One, two, three. Thank you. We see you right there. Anybody else? Anybody else? We're going to give you just a sec. Be bold today, y'all. Thank you, Father. Praise you. All right, look at me. Hey, one, y'all, come on. We got a new brother in Christ. Well, have y'all had a good time this morning? Y'all, will y'all be sure and keep Pastor Corey in your prayers? And John's got an announcement to make.